Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to have each one of you here. Our visitors, we're very happy to have you here. You're very welcome. Hope you just make yourselves right at home. And we're glad that you're here with us this morning. The title of my devotional this morning is Breadcrumbs. And it comes from both the fact of what I would like to talk about a little bit, and also because we're just going to get a couple morsels of it. We're not going to eat the whole loaf. I saw an interesting headline the other day, and that's what made me start thinking about this. And it said, "Subway bread is not bread. Irish court rules." Well, that looks really interesting. So I read the article, and I'm sure a number of you probably read it as well. I was thinking, well, how can bread not be bread? Well, according to the Supreme Court of Ireland, Subway is essentially serving us well-disguised donuts. So as I understand what happened is they're supposed to pay a value-added tax to anything that is classified as a confectionery. And at the end of the year, all the Subways in Ireland, or the franchise that is in charge of all the Subways in Ireland, had to pay this value-added tax on all their sandwiches. And they said, well, that's not right. This is a staple food. I mean, Ezekiel calls bread it says the staff of bread, but implication is the staff of life. And so they're saying, this is a staple food. We don't need to charge a value-added tax on staple food. And so the judge in charge of the case said, in essence, not sorry. Bread is clearly defined as having only 2% sugar by volume for the weight of the flour in the dough, and yours has at least 10%. So, case closed. And in other words, if he would have been an Ozark judge, he'd have said, y'all been selling donuts. But he said it, of course, in highly technical legal language and in a Irish brogue, so it was vastly more interesting. The Subway representative had a very sparkling rebuttal to that, and he said, Subway's bread is, of course, bread. And that's all he had to say about it. So it's a sort of an interesting story. It's probably not likely to change your eating habits, and that's okay. But it made me think, we talk about bread, we think about it usually as being something healthy, something important. And so it made me think about what am I eating? What am I putting into myself, specifically into my mind? So I'd like to look at a couple verses out of Isaiah to start out with. Isaiah chapter 52. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised. Oh, I'm on the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. Anyhow. I'll just read it off of my notes here. I have the wrong reference there. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. So this passage is saying that it is possible to mistake something as bread. To eat something that isn't bread, either because you thought it was or because you just preferred that. And what I'm thinking about here is what feeds my mind? What am I eating that feeds my mind? Our thoughts, of course, direct our actions, but our thoughts originate from somewhere. They're not just spontaneous creations that come out of absolutely nowhere. We do things, we read things that influence our thoughts. We listen to books. Or we read books, we look at videos, podcasts are an increasingly popular way of getting information. And one slight grain of truth that I'm going to put in here about podcasts, I listen to podcasts, I enjoy podcasts. But one thing to remember is a podcast is like an essay. An essay is not a book. The purpose of an essay is to give you one argument and convince you that this argument is right. Versus a book is intended to give you a well-rounded picture of the entire subject. A podcast is like an essay. It gives you one argument, gives you a lot of reasons for this one argument, but it's not a book. It doesn't give you the whole well-rounded picture. So just remember that as you're listening to podcasts, that you're getting one little tiny piece of the puzzle here. This is not the end of all things there. We listen to multiple things, not just books, music, lots of things that we listen to. And then we also get information from people, which is a great way. We have conversations with people. We talk to them. We give and we get information. So these are ways that our thoughts are generated. And so made me think, what are some forms of non-bread? Like it talks here in Isaiah, it says not bread. When I was working in Bangladesh, we ate whenever we could a bread that was called naan bread. And it was this thick, puffy, pizza-style bread. And it was great. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we think we're getting something good that we're actually not. So a couple things that I thought of. And like I said, this isn't comprehensive, but reading or listening or taking things into our mind that detracts from truth, that pulls us away from truth. Or sometimes it's something that simply distracts. It just takes our mind somewhere else. And maybe we simply don't want to think about an issue that we're facing, or we don't want to think about anything that makes our mind actually want run. So we listen to something light that just kind of distracts us. Or another one would be something that simply contains partial truth, where there's a lot of little bits of truth in there, maybe, but like David often says, some pieces of truth do not a whole truth make. And so it's important that we don't primarily focus on or take into ourselves things that just contain little pieces of truth with lots of other falsehood. There's sources that draw me away from what I know is right. And another one would be primarily listening or reading or taking thoughts in or information in from things that draw away from biblical non-resistance. And one reason that I say from biblical non-resistance is because I believe that in non-resistance are many of the tenets that we hold dear as Christians. It carries some of the crucial tenets of the Bible, things like love, the two-kingdom concept, nonconformity, compassion. These are all encompassed in that. And when we primarily bring in information from sources that don't support biblical non-resistance, we're opening ourselves up to a lot of non-bread. And so that's another thing that we need to look out for. So what bread should we eat then? I'd like to turn over to John chapter 6. And I'm not going to read this whole passage here for sake of time. But I'd like to read verses 32 through 35. If you have chance then, read from verse 28 down through verse 59. It's a beautiful exhortation on the bread of life. But I'm going to read verses 32 through 35 here this morning. Jesus was in a discussion with some of the people there, and they were talking about their lineage and how they could trace that back to the children in the wilderness. And Jesus said in verse 32, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Jesus is the bread of God. He is the bread of life. In verse 33, I think, is one of the crucial components of what kind of bread we should eat. And that is, he said, the right kind of bread gives life. And that's how I know what to eat. What do I take into my mind that draws me closer to God? What do I take into my mind that can make me see the world more through His eyes? That's the bread that we should be eating. Now, notice that it says in there, it's actually verse 36, "But I said unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not." So the true bread is not always recognized, and often it's not recognized, just as these men didn't recognize Jesus as God. And why is that? Why is it difficult to see the right bread sometimes? And I think part of it is because we don't like to look for what we really need, because it often makes us feel uncomfortable. And we don't like to feel uncomfortable, so we go with things that make us feel good. In other words, we'll read things, we'll listen to things that agree with what we already think, and not actually build our convictions, because we don't want to go into this uncomfortable area where I might have to change something. So that's something that's important, that the true bread isn't always recognized because it's not comfortable. Verse 51 says that this is the bread that is going to carry us through to eternity. It's a lifestyle that will carry us through life and on into eternity. If we partake of the bread that Jesus offers us, that will be good for us on into heaven. And then verse 57 and 58 says that Jesus, as the living bread, is our direct connection with God. And he says that as he lived out the Father while he was on earth, so we can live out Christ by taking in what he says. And so this is why it is super important that we take in the right bread, and that is because we give what we have. We cannot give out true bread if we have not taken it in ourselves. Isaiah 52, or the passage in Isaiah where we had read earlier, the last couple verses go from talking about spending money for that which is not bread to talking about how the people of Israel there should relate to the ones around them. And so that is passing it on out to others. We take in what's right, we can give out what's right. If we take in a superficial substitute, that's what we're going to be giving out as well. In John 6 here, in this passage, in verse 40, it says that the will of God is that everyone would be saved. And so that makes it all the more important that I'm eating the right bread, because if we're supposed to be presenting Christ and Christ's salvation to people, we want to be giving them the right bread, something that is true, not just something that is easy on your taste buds. We want to be giving bread, not just a donut. And I think it's interesting that this passage in John chapter 6 comes right after the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And the reason I think that's interesting is because there was a little boy who had a little bit of something, but he had the right thing. He had real bread. He gave it to God. He gave it to Jesus. And that bread was used to bless this huge crowd of people. And we don't need to have all the answers. But that little bit that we have, those few loaves that we have, make sure they're the right loaves. Take into your mind what's right, and then we have something that we can pass on to others. Let's stand for prayer.